Let's open our Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and 14. Well, you know what? Let's do this. Let's read John 3:16. We can do that. Thank God. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Hallelujah. So you can see right there in verse 17, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn or to blame or to prescribe punishment for somebody. We're to bring the love of Christ. We're to bring the good news, the good news, the good news of the gospel to those that are lost and share that Jesus loves them, that if you'll just receive him, you'll be saved, you'll be redeemed, you'll receive eternal life, and all of the things, the problems, they may not go away, but you've become a brand new person in Christ. Some problems will go away. That's called damnation. Going to hell, that'll go away. But some of these earthly things, now you have an adversary, you're going to fight some things or fight through some things, but it's all going to be in what? In Christ. And so we have the victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now you can turn over to Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 13 and 14. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for the direction that you've given me. I thank you that you know the hearts of the people. You know what people need to hear. And we thank you, Father, that as we teach this lesson, as we share these truths from your word, that they will be deposited in the hearts, grace deposits. Because it is the word of grace. And we thank you that these grace deposits in the hearts of the people will bring a change, will bring revelation, will bring light into our hearts. And we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the teacher of the church. You are our helper. You are our comforter, our guide. And we thank you this day that by faith, we open our hearts to you. We thank you that you will reveal and unfold the word of God to us and strengthen us in this area with the might of God and his word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Colossians, we look at this here, familiar scripture verse. We're talking about identification today. I'm going to start here. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son?" Verse 14, "In whom?" It's talking about Christ. "In whom we have, not we might, gonna have, it's we have, what? Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So when we start talking about identification, some of the most important words we can look at are, as some have said, the keys to unlocking or unfolding the scriptures are contained in two words, in Christ or with him or in him. These two words are critical in understanding the Pauline revelation. This revelation that we have is in Christ, in him, in whom. Now let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Second Corinthians chapter 5:17. Says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How? By Christ, by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world unto himself, not what? Imputing or holding against, not counting would be a better way of saying it, not counting their trespasses unto them. See, this is what we're talking about, people having what I would call an identity problem when they think all of these things that they've done, they've got a reason in their minds that God doesn't love them. God's not extending his grace towards them. And so here we're saying he's not holding that against him. And you're going to read further why that is, right? He's not holding or counting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto who? Unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. That means every sin that ever would be committed, he became that. He literally became sin. So sin has been paid for. So anything that you've ever done, it's already been paid for. So we're not under the law, are we? Romans says we're not under the law, but we're under grace. So we have access to this grace, this freedom from sin. We have access to this through faith. You've got to receive what the word says, and then it's not about how you feel. It's not about how you think. Our thinking needs to be changed. It needs to be renewed, needs to be transformed, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto him through Christ, and he became sin for us. And so for us, as we walk through this life, that you need to understand, yes, if we miss it, then we ask God for forgiveness. But it doesn't affect your relationship with Him. If you miss it, it doesn't affect your relationship. It affects your fellowship with Him. But you ask Him, say, Lord, you know, I'm sorry I missed it. Forgive me. But here, some of the other translations, I like, this is the Good News Bible. It says, Christ was without sin, but for our sake, God made Him to share our sin in order that in union with Him, we might share the righteousness of God. So that's a new identity. So we were sin. Christ became sin. It's forgiven. All we have to do is receive it by faith. Faith does what? Activates the power of God. Faith in God's word activates His power that causes that to be at work in us. Changes what? Your heart. Changes your heart. And so I know for me, you know, you look at me and you say, well, that's not possible. Let me tell you a little bit about myself in one area. I think I've told you this maybe once or twice, that when I grew up at home, I never heard a curse word at home. Now, maybe you did. I didn't. I never heard a four-letter word, a curse word in my home. My parents were just that way. They didn't use it in front of us. Now, they may have used it behind the scenes. I don't think so. It's possible, but they never used it. In all the years I grew up, they never used a curse word in front of us. So it was foreign to me. But you know, how some of the we talk about, you can be affected by association, good or bad. And so, you know, I've heard so often, like Dr. Larry Hutton, he walks in a certain anointing. Those that traveled with Brother Hagin, there's an anointing that rests upon them this day because of association. Amen. Well, you can have a different kind of thing going on in you by association. Who you identify with, who you hang around with, you identify with can have an impact. So when I was growing up, going through college, I worked construction. Well, when you're in construction, they use a different kind of language. It's a four-letter vocabulary, and it's predominantly that, right? So I began, through association, I began to adapt that kind of colorful language. Everything was, I don't have to, you understand, you get the point. I don't have to give you any examples. Some of you may be dealing with that yourself when you get upset. So anyways, I could turn that on and off. If I was sitting in company that I wasn't supposed to use it, I didn't release that. But if I was working on my sports car under and I slapped my hand, boy, there was some other kind of language that would come out. And this was before I was born again. I wasn't saved. I wasn't redeemed. I didn't have the life of Christ in me. My spirit wasn't changed. And so I acted like it. And some of us, you understand what we're talking about. Now, I never killed anybody, but I sure had a deadly language. It was ungodly. And the moment I got saved, I remember it. Some of you may remember Pastor John Lipscomb. I went to, you know, when I first started going to a church, I went to an Assembly of God church. He was the pastor. He just one time looked at me and said, "Are you saved?" I said, "No, sir." He said, "You want to?" I said, "Sure." And I walked up just to meet him after a service. And so that was my entrance into the kingdom of God. He you know, prayed the sinner's prayer I did with him. And that very moment, You know, some folks say, well, I didn't feel anything, nothing happened. It did with me. Because the very moment I received Christ, I walked out of there and I said, man, what happened to me? My spirit was on fire. There was a churning, a change, something happened. And of course, he didn't explain anything and I didn't know. And I'm wondering, what happened to me? That's why a lot of times when people accept Christ here, we begin to share. We say, you know, something may not have happened, but you may have experienced something. You may have. And so I went home that day, and I'm under my sports car. I had a nice sports car at the time, and I'm under there doing something, and I had a wrench, and I went, boom! And normally, a whole litany of profanities would have followed. I'm serious. I'm just telling you the way it was. And when I hit my hand, nothing came out. And I'm going to tell you, it arrested. I went, Because it was so normal with me. It was ba 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 ba. They were my adjectives, my verbs, you know, all of the nouns and everything. That was my language. You know, it was like that, that, that. That was it. And so when I went and whacked my hand, nothing came out. And it arrested my, it was the very day that I got saved. I went back, I'm under the car working on it, and I whacked my hand, nothing came out. Nothing. And I'm like, what's going on here? I'm a new creature now.
All right.
I'm brand new. My spirit's been changed. Oh. I'm no longer in darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of God. I've been delivered. And to this day, if you hauled off and give me a good whack or something, nothing comes out. I've been changed. I've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. So I began to see that wasn't mental, it was spiritual. My spirit was brand new. Changed. And so, am I saying that happens to some? Or does that happen to everybody? I don't know. It happened to me. And it was so real that to this day, I know that 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 I'm saved. And filled with his presence. Because I had another kind of thing going on. And it was like this. And it was like changed. Instantly. So I began to know that there was something that happened to me. I was a new person in Christ. Now I needed to have some other changes that go on. You understand what I mean? Getting our minds renewed in the Word of God. But there were certain things that fell off immediately. Likes and things that I had. So because of my identification with Christ, I began to know him in a more intimate way. And of course, that grew and that developed and has continued to develop, praying in the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost. But this initial thing here of being made righteous or being made the righteousness of God in him, I knew that. And I sensed that in me. That I didn't have a identity issue at that point. But we need to continue to associate in certain settings. Otherwise, there can be some seeds that get planted in us that are not godly. And in this society that we live in, the devil is trying to corrupt what you've learned and distract you because he doesn't want you to really know who you really are. He wants to smokescreen that. He doesn't want you to really know who you are in Christ because when you become aware, when you really know who you are in Christ, demons tremble. They tremble anyways, but they tremble more when you know who you are. You won't tolerate some things. You won't put up with stuff in your life. You won't vacillate. You won't be drawn into things. You just say, no, that's not me anymore. I don't do that anymore. I don't think that way anymore. You know, I've shared on a Wednesday night, you know, one of the things that had one of the biggest impacts personally for me was Pastor Sarah and Clinton coming through a generation where there was all of the struggle and injustices. I'm not saying they were right, but the injustices towards an ethnic group, being the black race. They were involved in it. They were deeply involved in it. But when he got saved, when he got redeemed, he'd say it, no, I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature. I'm brand new. He didn't struggle with that identity. He knew who he was. Didn't say he didn't have a heart for black people. He didn't say that. He just said that I'm not being drawn into that whole stuff that the devil's stirring up. He said, I'm a new creature. I've been called to preach the gospel because in it is the power of God to change a heart, to redeem a mind, to change your mind. It has the power in it to change me. And if we don't have that mind, we're going to vacillate. We're going to struggle with stuff. And it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything. You're going to struggle with something if you don't feed on this word and get it down in your heart, because it has the power to change you. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Change your body. Change your finances. Hallelujah. I am now right with God. Hallelujah. Now let's look at a moment. I'll just jump back here. Look at Romans chapter 8 a second. This is a very familiar scripture verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Well, let's look at start back in 14. I'm sorry, let's go back to 10. We might keep going back to 1. No, but let's start at 10. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but what? The Spirit is life, not the Holy Spirit. Your spirit has got life in it now. Why? Because of righteousness. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. And because of that righteousness, my spirit is life. I've got eternal life in it. Hallelujah. And because of that, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead does what? Shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Why? By his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So this body may have been subject and there's sin in it, but greater is his life in me that quickens. He quickens this mortal body. He gives life to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's some things that are benefits to us because of his presence. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. What? To live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through his life, through his presence, do what? Mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption,
whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm telling you, that's so real to me. The moment I got saved, I knew. I wasn't in darkness anymore. I'm a child of God. Now, I didn't know all the benefits, but I knew that one thing. I was saved. I'm his child now. Look at verse 17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus because of this identification with Christ. I've identified with him everything. I believe, what does it say in 1 Corinthians? Or is it 2 Corinthians? It's in the, let me get over here a second. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me read that. It says, all of the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea and what? Amen. Hallelujah. And they're in him, in Christ. So when we identify with him, all of the promises of God are yours. But they have to be what? Received by faith. And you've got to walk in them. We're to walk by faith, so you receive them, but then you got to walk in them. You know, I was listening to... some of you have listened to some of the stories of Brother Hagin. And some of you have, some of you haven't. Sometimes his son talks about it, who's currently pastoring and overseeing the ministry after his dad passed. But he would always say this, and he wasn't saying anything his dad never said. But he said, you know, you always saw my dad in his latter years walking in all of the blessings and prosperity. You never saw him walking with holes in his shoes, hitchhiking from meeting to meeting, taking a bus, having his car repossessed, not making it, but preaching prosperity, preaching faith, preaching the word. Why? Because he believed God. And God's word is true and will come to pass. And I remember Reverend Kenny and Annie were sharing this weekend. They said, you know, Dad Hagin said to his wife, he said, if you'll stick with me, he said, you'll have a fur coat to wear every day of the week. And she did. He said, if you'll stick with me, we will walk in all the blessings of God. Sometimes we say, yeah, all this is, you know, we're heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, and all the blessings and promises are yea and amen. I don't know. I don't see it. He did what? You receive the grace of God through faith. And they will come to pass if you stick with it. Some of us are not walking in the blessings because we've given up. Whatever that is. And we need to just, as I say, stick with it. Keep saying the word right in the middle of lack. Right in the middle of sickness. Right in the middle of stuff. Family problems. Whatever it is, you say, no, no. God's word said, I believe it. I'm in him and his promises are mine. I'm an heir of God. And you need to remind the devil. Amen. Remind God. God, you said this. Hallelujah. How many of us were here for Dr. Larry Hutton? What did he say? He said, let's look at how Jesus handled lack. How did Jesus handle lack? Was Jesus, did he ever have any lack in his life? No. So if he didn't, let's look at what the word says. Let's see how Jesus, when confronted, he was tempted in all ways like we are. Right. How did he handle situations? Yes, God was in Christ, but he set aside all of his glory and privileges, and he was as a man, sinless. He was a prototype of how we are to walk. How did he handle that? How did he handle that? So when there was lack, what did they say? When he turned water into wine, that was lack. How did he address it? He spoke to it. How did he address the fig tree that had leaves and no fruit? He spoke to it. How did he handle the disciples who had no fish after fishing all night? He spoke. How do you handle issues in your life, lack, something that's not there, that is promised you because of your identification, because you are right, you are the righteousness of God in Christ? How do you handle it? You speak to it. Speak to it. You talk to it. And not just once, you keep saying it. You keep saying it. Keep saying it. Reminding God, God, you promised me. I was listening to, yesterday I was listening to some healing tapes by Reverend Leanne Sosaby. How many were here at her meetings? And on one of her healing tapes, this one, Healing 101, she said, I was just put in charge of the oversight of the prayer and healing school. And she said, you know, the devil will try to stop things that God puts his hand on and ordains. He'll try to frustrate you, hinder you from the work of God. And she said, here I am, I'm just taking over. And she said, I've got a slipped disc in my back and a sciatic issue. She said, I'm in major pain, and I can't hardly move. And now I'm overseeing preaching faith and healing. And I'm in major pain. And she said, I can't even hardly move. But I got to get up and preach faith and healing. So she said, you know, I'm struggling, she said. So I had one of my prayer team members come in, said, just lay your hands on me. Put your hand right there. She said, I need a supply. I need some help right now. I need a supply of his presence, his spirit, his anointing. Put your hand right here. And so this is what she did. She said, thank you. And she said, now I had to operate in faith, get up and move. But she said, I kept speaking to it until it changed. Faith activates the power of God. If you're struggling with something, and you know you need some help to lift the burden, it's nothing wrong with what she said. I'm the leader. I'm the one overseeing. I need some help, is what she said. So I called in the person that reports to me to lay hands upon me. Nothing wrong with that. She said I needed some help. And it's the same thing with us. There's nothing wrong. A leader could need something to help in a position, right? But this identification with Christ, what comes along with it is that all these promises are what? Yea and amen. They're settled. And so I think what God is telling us, he said, look, this morning, he said, I want you to come up another level. He's telling us, go back and remind yourself of who you are in Christ. What I'm finding, and this is a good gauge for me, in all of the tensions that are going on. If I watch something, and this was kind of along the lines of what Reverend Leanne said. She said, we went to a movie. She was talking about this. She said, and I'm teaching, you know, I'm coming in. People are dying. People are hurting. They need healing in their body. They need to be lifted from death. She said, so I'm not feeding on death. So she said, we went to a movie, family, you know, everybody, it was innocent. And she said, there was dying in the movie. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, I'm not going to watch it. She said, I got up and excused myself. Because she said, I don't want that fed into me, in my spirit. She said, because if I keep feeding on that, and then I have to impart life, she said, I don't want this constant image, this image of death, death, destruction in my spirit.
Amen.
Now that's a personal choice. That was her personal choice. And so even with me, sometimes I'll look at something on the internet, some of the social stuff that's going on, and I've caught myself a couple times saying, that's not right. And I start feeling a certain way. And I go, click, click. Because if you keep feeding on it, you forget who you are. And you get drawn into it. And you start feeling a certain way. And it was no different than what Pastor Clinton used to say. He said, we don't preach politics because if I take a side, I alienate somebody. And Christ came for everybody.
Amen.
So if I start feeling a certain way against someone or a group of people, it's not God.
Amen.
And you got to make a choice. I'm not telling you what to do. I make choices. I'm saying for me to identify with Christ means I identify with what he thinks and what he stands for. His mind is my mind.
Amen.
Yes, he doesn't like injustice. He is a God of justice. But he is a God that loves everybody.
Amen.
And he gives everybody an opportunity. What do we get done reading? God sent his son into this world not to condemn. And so in order for us to operate in the love of God, we're going to have to make choices. We're going to have to make some choices, because when you identify not just, with a person, it can be with an idea or a platform. And that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants you to identify with death, his ideas that are being spoken through people that don't know him, that have purpose. I've shared this, that in this earth, you need to have, for me, and maybe this is just me, but there is such a struggle going on in this earth realm, because you have a God that is the God of this world that has blinded the hearts of people, and he wants to operate and speak through them.
Amen.
Words that are not kingdom words. They're not kingdom promises. I'm in a new kingdom now. I have a new identity. I have a new covenant. And so some of this stuff that comes spitting across your screen and your phone, it's not covenant-based. They're not covenant words. They're not covenant promises. They're death-filled.
Wow.
And you need to look at the Word and see, okay, is that in the Word? Is that a promise to me? No, it's not. Click. And there's such a struggle, and you begin to see it, light and darkness, because the devil wants a place to operate through a very high position. When you look at positions of authority that rule and reign in just the natural realm, he wants visibility or voice through individuals. He wants to control them. That's why when you see certain things, when you look at television and you see so-and-so has this spot to do music at the NFL halftime, at the Super Bowl. visibility, platform, and they take that platform to do what? Speak. And it's the same thing. We need to weigh, we need to look at that and say, who am I in Christ? Does that have anything to do with me? And if it makes you feel some kind of way, it's not God. And God is telling us, you are right with me. You are my righteousness. You are in me. You need to have your mind changed. And that's why when you look at, I always like this particular scripture in Romans chapter 12. You can turn over there. Well, actually, go to Romans 8 first and verse 10. Then we'll go to Romans 12 too. But Romans 8 chapter 10. Sorry, Romans chapter 8 verse 10. Says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life. Why? Because of righteousness. Listen to some of these other translations. They're kind of different. These are coming out of the Mark Hankins book that we make available. This is the Hudson translation. It says, your Spirit is a living thing because of being integrated into Christ's righteousness. Your spirit is a living thing because of Christ. This is the Williams translation. But if Christ lives in you, although your bodies must die because of sin, your spirits are now enjoying life because of a right standing with God. Your spirits enjoy eternal life because of a right standing with God. This is the Weymouth translation. It says, though your body must die because of sin, yet your spirit has life because of righteousness. You are righteous in Christ. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Romans 12. In verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is the King James Version. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the Message translation. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And that's a lot of times where we can slip into that you become adjusted to something without even thinking. And this says here, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops a well-formed maturity in you. So God is always looking to bring us up, to mature us in Christ through his word. And so we need to take that, look at that, and weigh, where are we with things? Where's your identification? Sometimes, I'm going to say this, sometimes we become so churched with, I don't want to use God's word and call it lingo, but we have a church answer, a church response for something, and it can be more mental than heart. You've learned to respond in a certain way, but It needs to come from your heart and not your mind. So when you give a response, it's a heart response, not a head response. Because a heart response will change things. Isn't that what it says? Over in Proverbs chapter 4, familiar scripture, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, or the boundaries, the extremities in life. So heart responses, things that have been planted in your heart, that have been meditated upon and fed upon and spoken, set boundaries in your life. So when it comes to our identification in Christ, he said, everything I've promised you is yours. No limits, no boundaries in Christ. Man sets boundaries, governments set boundaries, people set boundaries, God sets no boundaries. All things, some things, all things are possible with him. And so I think God is telling us today, let's go back and look at our identification with Christ, and if it's gotten off kilter a little bit, go back and meditate on who you are in Christ and meditate on those scriptures. Meditate on the things that have maybe become a block for you. And then go and look at what Christ has promised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've made it a purpose in my heart that everything that God has promised me, I'm going to have. Now, I didn't say it would come overnight, but we're going to have them. And this ministry is going to have them. Everything that God has promised, I'm going to walk in, naturally and spiritually. I'm going to walk in them. And you need to just say it because he promised it. Not because thus saith the Lord or somebody had a word for you. God already had a word for you. Right there in his written word. If he said it's yours, then you need to just do what? Receive it. Say, God, you cannot lie. And you're without variableness or shadow of turning. I receive it. And I walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. This earth is looking for the sons of God, and I'm telling you, the greatest times lie ahead of us, and we need to just speak by faith, even when you don't see it, and it looks like it'll never be yours, and it's impossible to have. Nothing's impossible with God. Reverend Kevin was talking about things, you know, he just shared so many stories with us about how God had directed them to do certain things in ministry. He was sharing with us over dinner, he said, you know, they had just enough money to put the down payment on an album they were doing, their first album. And he said it was going to cost him $35,000 to do an album, which really isn't a lot, but that's what it was at that time. And he said the Lord told them, I think he said they had $5,000 or $6,000 in his bank account, and the Lord said, empty it and sow it into this. And he said they were starting the project like next week. So he said, okay, $5,000 is not going to pay for the album, so we might as well trust God and just sow it as directed. So he said, they did. So he said he gets this call from somebody that they knew, and he said, hey, could you meet me for lunch? He said, sure. So they're all talking over lunch, and they're talking about stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he said, the man said to him, and he said he was very wealthy, and he said to him, you know, something to the effect, you know, they started talking, and he said, well, how much is that going to cost? He said, you know, I guess they knew him and so forth. He said, how much is this going to cost? He said, well, about $35,000. He said, I'll bring a check by for the full amount. He said, you got to walk by faith. And when God directs you to unload your bank account for something, I'm not talking about doing something emotional, but when he tells you to do it, you do it. Because this identification with Christ, when he leads, right, there's some benefits in that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. How many are excited about being in Christ?
Yes, sir.
I am. I tell you,
yes, sir.
I just sometimes I don't even like to think about what I was used to be like. But I have to because it's just part of, you know, our background, our history. But it's like a faint, you know, when you go back, you go, oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you for getting me out of this lifestyle and mess that I was in and saving me and turning me around. Hallelujah. And being made what? Right with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you today for reminding us of who we are in Christ and reminding us that you love us and that we are right with you and that you desire for us to grow in grace. And so we thank you for that. Help us, Holy Spirit. Lead us and guide us into all truth. You said you would, so we believe that you will. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God.